More Bulls Beat Now. Once again, here's Derek Sharp.
As on Monday's program, we only had a few minutes for baseball. Wanted to drop in a few highlights here from the weekend's games. The Bulls dropped 2 of 3 to FAU. We'll give you a standings check here in just a little bit. And remember, we'll be on the air with the baseball team for Tuesday's game against Stetson, wrapping up an 8-game homestand. Unfortunately, only one win thus far in the homestand. You know, last week the Bulls dropped a close one to FGCU and then got swept by Rice. They did take the middle game against FAU, but dropped the first one and the last one, and the first one fell in line, unfortunately, with what's been going on with the team, which is getting plenty of chances to score and just not getting that big hit. 3-2 was the final score. In this contest, the Bulls, with runners in scoring position, were 1-for-9, while FAU was 0-for-3. It took the Owls a while for their first hit with a runner in scoring position. How do they score? Well, we'll tell you in just a little bit. But it started off with the anticipated very good pitching matchup playing out just that way. C.J. Williams of FAU had come off winning the AAC Player of the Week for a complete game shutout of Tulane. Did not throw any faster than 87, but was Greg Maddux-like with his placement. And the Bulls started to time him up just a little bit. He had a nice little strikeout streak going. That slowed down, but the strikeout pace did not slow down. It started strong and stayed that way for the Bulls starter, Hunter Mink.
2-2, Dubose making it a tough at bat here. That's a curveball. Man, what a beauty. Called strike three for the third inning in a row to get things going. Hunter Mink has struck out two, and that was the nastiest hook that he's offered up.
And this game was zipping along. He had two strikeouts in each of the first three innings and would end with a career high 11. And the Bulls strung together two runs on one play in the bottom of the fifth.
And Buffington lines it to the right side. Second baseman has it sail over his head and a second hit. One did not get out of the infield. One barely did. Adams purposefully there. Of course, with two outs, you can only sell it so much, right? I think made it look like he had a chance to get that ball. So we told you that he never had two on against him against Tulane. Will that change the fortunes here? It was a curveball that did not break much. And Buffington pushed it the other way. Now Matt Rose in his .310 batting average. 16 RBI, good contact hitter. Hopes to do so here. Shoots it the other way. And they are going to San Monkey. It's bobbled in right field. And the Bulls have the lead. Ball is thrown over to third. It gets away. And Buffington's racing for the plate. 2-0! They have solved CJ! Matt Rose with the RBI single.
Hey, you knew it was going to be a low-scoring game, and coming through with the big hit was going to have to be the thing. That was unfortunately the only time it happened for the Bulls, and unfortunately, you'll hear me reference the phrase, with two outs after two more strikeouts by Hunter Mink, FAU truly scraped out a bloop hit, followed by, well, here's what happened.
0-1, and that ball was blooped. That's going to be tough, and it's going to drop in. You had three Bulls all kind of looking at it, and I think it would have fallen in no matter what, but none of them took charge. Brodell in left field, Rose in at third base, and is the one that had the farthest distance to run, and really, really would have been a miraculous sprint to get to that ball. So a two-out single, first hit for the Owls since the first inning, and McKenna has both of them, although that was of the bloop variety. The first one was definitely a line shot. So now it's Christian Adams. Good hitter, 303, six home runs. So FAU's thinking, blooping it, you know what. Fouls the first pitch off a curveball. Curveball sails high. Adams, senior out of Royal Palm Beach. Started off at JUCO. And there's that pitch. Yeah, the curveball, that one's called low, and I think it was. Last year started 31 games, his first with the Owls. Missed 7 weeks with a hand injury. Did hit five homers, ball going 281, so he's solid. And, yep, rips that ball deep to right field, and you could just sense it. Home run. So a bloop and a blast indeed has tied the score. And you could just sense it. Christian Adams had struck out twice, was just gearing up, and that previous pitch that absolutely missed low and Buffington tried to frame into a strike made Mink, with a man on first and a 2-1 count, come pretty correct. And it was a curveball that Adams blasted for a 2-run homer.
Just like that, it was almost like you climbed up this big hill and, yep, you're right back to where you were at the bottom of the hill. But the Bulls did look like they were going to answer right back. After a leadoff strikeout, John Montez, a full count walk. And you'll hear it. The execution was perfect. And then, well, a great defensive play.
Rafael Betancourt coming up for the Bulls, looking to answer the Owls, answering them. Montez is off, and the ball is hit and run to perfection. And Montez will bucket around second base. That is as good as you can do it. It is runners on the corners. With Montez going, the shortstop cheated in, and Rafael Betancourt, who is excellent as far as directional hitting, singles it to the left side. And now here comes Drew Brutcher, and out go two more arms to the FAU pen. And now Drew Brutcher, who was struck out and swung at the first pitch he saw in the fifth inning, popped out. A chance here to put the Bulls back on top. Boy, the runs have just come fast and furious now. Bulls were getting no hit until they got three hits and two runs in the bottom of the fifth. Brutcher squares to bunt, and that is beautiful. Fielded well, though, by Williams, and they make the out. That was a good job by Williams, who's talking smack, like, how dare you try that against me. But with the force out not available, that was well put down. I thought Brutcher deadened that ball pretty well, but the third baseman, Williams, did a really, really nice job.
Seems like Montez could have gotten a faster break towards home because it really did look like 3-2 off the bat. Bulls, bottom of the seventh, a go-ahead run at third base, strikeout to end it. And then I mentioned FAU 0-3 with runners in scoring position. This was a runner scoring from scoring position, but not on a hit.
Now represents the go-ahead run with one away. Siebert wants to go back to second, but has to deliver. Runner is going. Ball is hit to the right side, so Montez will deliver, and runner's going home, and they will take the lead. Wow, what a play there. And what do you do if you're the Bulls? I mean, the ball is hit sharply to second base. Just by nature, you've got to throw it to first, but it was such an incredible jump by DuBose that he ended up scoring on a ground ball to second base. And again, Montez sped it up. I think he realized the situation. Looking back at it, he could have hurried the throw a little bit. But that'll go down as an RBI ground out. Scoring a runner from second base. You talk about manufacturing a run. The Owls just did it.
And through all that, there was still this lingering situation. Even though their closer, Danny Trey, came out and struck out the side in the bottom of the eighth inning, that the Bulls would be able to pull off something in the ninth. That's because in their last conference game, FAU held a 5-2 lead, were ready to take the series victory from Tulane, but gave up a 7 spot in the top of the ninth. Well, this was the bottom of the ninth, and Drew Brutcher doinks one in for a single. Joaquin Moncay tries to bunt, can't get it down, but gets hit by the second pitch. After a pop-up, you got runners on first and second. Stuart Puckett comes in and flies out, but then a wild pitch and one magical swing by the guy who on one swing scored the first two runs of the game means you're going to pull off the win. Instead,
FAU just had a game where they were one strike away, one out away, and we're here now. Full count. Second and third, tying and winning runs for the Bulls. Here's the pitch. Swung and a miss, strike three. Fastball, and Trahey gets his fourth strikeout and rightfully celebrates. I mean, they just had a tragedy of a loss in their last game, so he hopped off the mound yelling and screaming, and the Bulls had some excitement there but couldn't come through. And that was the story of the night. 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position.
Well, that was rough, but the Bulls Got it back the next day. We're just going to give you highlights here of the last two games as opposed to me setting them up, because as we're taping this, we're getting ready to go back to the stadium and call the game action tonight. But here are some of the key moments of the Bulls beating the Owls 8-5 on Saturday. And then with Peter DeFee on the microphone, a quick start for the Bulls with Drew Brutcher, but they would go on to lose that game by the score of 6-2. And after that, check back in for a look at the standings.
The Bulls 21-20, trying to win and break a five-game losing streak and, of course, stay above 500. That ball's golfed pretty well. Deep to left field, Marcus Brodell will watch it sail out of here. Opposite field power by Adams. I mentioned he had the big hit last night. Obviously, the big hit so far today. And just like that, the Owls have a 2-0 lead. There was, off the bat, the look of it could be caught. It should be caught. It might get to the wall if it's not caught. But Adams had other ideas. Curveball, called strike three, even Rich knew it. So, striking out the side, there is Joey Vellini, and he's got three Ks on the day. 2-2 to Puckett. Fouls that one off. 94 miles an hour, so excellent work by Puckett to not just succumb in this at bat. Bulls have, not a bunch of times, but the last 2 weeks had the bases loaded plenty of times, and when they've scored, it's been on walks and no hits. Get a hit with the bases loaded, it'd be nice. So action pitch as it were here. Puckett looking for his first hit if he can get it in a while. And he golfs it up the middle, and it'll get through. That's the hit we've been looking for. Brutcher will come home. And the tying run with Monkey. At long last, a hit with the bases loaded. And it's 2-2. Boy, it's just nicked off Murphy the pitcher and skimmed off the glove of a diving shortstop, LaRue, who is a phenomenal athlete, by the way. And I don't care about any of that. Whatever it took to come through with a base hit. And Puckett was the guy who came through. Bulls have chased the starter for the Owls and now looking to take the lead. We're tied at two. Full count, runners on second and third. Curveball hit the other way, and that'll get through the hole. Jackson Mayo will score the go-ahead run. And the throw comes home for no reason. Brodell will see this and advance to second. Some big hits and mix in a good bunt, and the Bulls have taken the lead. All three who walk have scored, and it's 3-2. Not sure what DeBose was thinking out there, other than he's a very aggressive guy. We saw last night when he scored from second on a ground out that he has one speed. And there his speed was try to get the run cut down when there was zero chance of doing it. Brodell lofted that ball through the left side. Now has 14 RBI. Chopper, this could be tricky. Monkey gets it, sends it across, and Puckett with the scoop! And the Bulls get out of it. That was not an easy play for Puckett. He is not really a natural first baseman. And for that matter, Monkey is not a natural shortstop. Mark that down right there as the Owl strand two on a play that, frankly, was not easy. And it is still 4-2 Bulls going to the bottom of the third. Monkey up the dish. Golfs that one through the left side. Everything's finding a hole right now, and we will not be complaining. An RBI single for Monkey. Three straight singles to start off the inning, and it's 5-2. 1-2. Runner is going from first. Puckett is lining the ball to the gap, and it is also finding an opening. That's how it's going today for the Bulls. I love it. It is 6-2 off the end of the bat of Stuart Puckett. Driven in a run, and that ball is going to be driven to right field, and what a catch! Drew Brutcher, insane closing speed for the second out. The point off the bat that absolutely looked like extra bases. And Drew Brutcher sold out. Now the Owls with a real opportunity here. Full count. Oh, strike three called. That looked like it was going to end up inside and broke over the middle of the plate where Madonna had been starting those curveballs middle out and ended up outside. That was a beaut and a necessary beaut.
As a 3-1 pitch from Beard with both runners going is taken for a strike. The throw down to second is not in time. Rosenblum, who was stealing third, is now able to get up as the ball trickles into center field, and he's able to score, so the double steal works out perfectly for the USF Bulls, who are now on the board and leading 1-0. And now Bozer has a chance to make this a 2-0 game early. 3-2 pitch from Beard is on his way. Leg lift, and the pitch is swung on and lifted down the left field line. DeBose giving chase. He's at the track, looking up, leaps, and makes the catch. Banging into the wall, DeBose is able to hold on to it, and now he's come up a little bit limp. He lost his hat. A long fly ball. Brando LaRue, shortstop, 23 RBIs. Looking for RBI number 24 in the top of the second. Swings and flies this one into left field. Going to his left, though, is Brodell. He's at the track. Jumps up. Did he make the catch? He does make the catch. And now tagging from second and going to score is Christian Adams. Is Brodell. And now they're going to check second base. They say that he did tag up. Brecher is still sixth for career home runs in a Bulls uniform with 37. He's also 10th on career walk list, as this one is swung on and drilled into deep center field, going back on his Rich, and then is going to go over the batter's eye for a home run. Brutcher, after I said he wasn't hitting many home runs, does, and makes it 3-1 USF here in the bottom of the second. So home run number 4, RBI number 22 and 23. And it is now 3-1 USF. Siebert in a little bit of trouble. 1-1 pitch is swung on and driven down the left field line. This might get out of the ballpark. If it's fair, it is. And it is fair. And it is gone. And FAU now takes the lead 5-3 on Carter Brady's sixth home run of the season. RBIs number 21, 22, and 23.
And again, that was Peter Defeat on the calls on Sunday afternoon. That was in the top of the sixth, and that ended the scoring until the ninth. The Bulls certainly had their chances. Once again, runners in scoring position, 1-for-10. Quite simply, that has been the issue for the team this year. You heard Jack Siebert. He came out of the pen this series both Friday and Sunday. Joey Vellini was solid in 4 innings of starting work on Saturday. And then Lawson Gailey got the start in the Sunday contest, went 3 2/3 innings. So Bulls are now 22-21 overall, 8-10 in the American, again against Stetson on Tuesday night, and then 2 East Carolina, which has separated itself from the pack and ranked 5th in the country in one poll, 6th in another. They're 14-4 in the league, 35-8 overall, 2 games up on UTSA. Then it's another 3 games back to 3 teams at 9-9 and 3 teams at 8-10. So just 1 game separates 3rd from 8th. And then it's a 1-game drop to 9th UAB. And then Memphis, 1 more game back, is in last place. The Bulls, if they want to make it to Clearwater, are going to have to finish ahead of 2 of the teams that basically are right now in the bottom half. Yeah, they're only a game behind Tulane, FAU, and Charlotte, but all 3 of those teams now have head-to-head on the Bulls. So realistically, you got to look at it as USF, Wichita, Rice, UAB, Memphis. Bulls need to finish ahead of 2 of those teams. Or they can finish even with the teams they have head-to-head on. Right now, they have head-to-head on Wichita and Memphis. That's good. Not against Rice, and they're yet to play UAB. So plenty of time left to go. And frankly, I think you don't want to just aim for finishing in the top 8. You want to aim for finishing probably 6th or 7th so that you're not facing East Carolina in the conference tournament like the Bulls have done the last couple years, even though last year they beat them the one time they saw their season end with 2 games against the Pirates. It's a hard team to beat twice in any setting. That's going to wrap it up for this setting of Bulls Beat on the podcast page. Thanks for dropping by.